Welcome to the Tales for the Long Box podcast. This is episode 144. Spotlight on DC Comics, the new 52. Futures End, number zero. I am Chris Molesby. Oh, and number one? We're doing number one, too? Okay. Yeah. And one. And number one. One is zero and one. Okay. So, yeah. Just a little addendum there to the end. And I'm Chris Molesby.
You're still Chris Molesby.
Yes, I am still.
Wow, I'm still Caleb Gerard, regardless. Yes. Regardless.
Nice and cool and new AC, and I am totally broke, but by golly, I am freezing in here, and it's awesome. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Excellent. I am Murray Fox, and I am chasing a cat off my porch.
Oh, I hate cats.
Oh, I love cats, but my cats don't love cats.
I can't stand them.
We've had one cuddly Sprain the side of our house recently. I'm really not happy about it.
Oh, yeah?
We've got cats inside. We keep them indoors all the time. And
yeah.
Yes, because you are a responsible cat owner.
We had a cat once get FIV, and we decided that's never going to happen again. So.
All right. Makes sense.
I think it does. It's worked. It's worked so far. Hey, I just total side note, and you can look it up while we're going through this issue, but did we or did we not record the first episode of this show at the beginning of May?
I can. I'll look. We did it right before the new 52 started, so that was...
I thought it was even sooner than that, but okay.
Yeah, I really... Well, okay, archives... August 2011.
Oh, it was later than I thought. For some reason, I thought it was in May, but it was August. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, because we started... The reason I wanted to do it was because of the new 52. Okay. Back when I was excited about it. Yeah, first episode... Wait a minute.
Oh, that's okay. I was wrong.
We're coming up on it, though, for sure.
So... DC's September event this year is features... Apostrophe and
yes,
that
would be
it's official.
Yeah,
DC claims September is their own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's gonna, I don't know how many more years they can sustain that, but
I don't know. I
wish them all the luck in the world. Since it seems to kick up their sales at just the right time of the year, and they get a few specials out of it, which kick up again their sales at just the right time of the year, leading into year-end reporting. And
yeah, we actually did an episode zero, and it was on August 12th, 2011.
All right, well, and then I will stand down on my...
We need to do better than we did last year. That was my fault. I think I was in the middle of still getting... a house and crap around that time, so I don't know. Anyway,
so DC also, it finally a smart move on their part in terms of zero or Free Comic Book Day, put out a zero issue of Futures End for Free Comic Book Day. All personal feelings on content aside, it was a good lead in presentation, which
technically it started in Aquaman, I think, because one of those seer characters in Aquaman saw like a vision of the future, and it was this.
Yeah. Good for Aquaman.
Yeah. Anyway,
having relevancy.
Yes.
All right. So the plot of the number zero is 35 years into the future. Brother Eye has managed to transform the majority of superheroes. And supervillains, by the way, into cyborg bugs. As the last remaining heroes launch one final attack on Brother Eye's power source, Bruce Wayne Batman creates a time machine in an attempt to prevent Brother Eye's ascension and this current, the future that they're living in. However, before Bruce Wayne is able to use the time machine, he gets ambushed by some of the cyborg bugs, forcing Terry McGinnis, Batman Beyond, to use the time machine to travel through time instead. Arriving in the past, Terry realizes that he has undershot his goal when it's 5 years too late. He's undershot his goal by 5 years. So he was hoping to arrive in the DC present, but he arrived in the DC present plus five.
Okay.
And that's what the Zero issue was, basically, Murray. It was full of gore, full of
oh yeah
stuff that I would not give to a child who was coming to Free Comic Book Day to pick up superhero comics.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Gazillion years I would not give it to them. And this is from a dad who is taking his kids to see Green Lantern and Sherlock Holmes and other movies that, you know, perhaps the regret was twofold, being not a great movie and also gory at the same time. But let's keep that in mind if you decide to reach back into issue zero. Mm-hmm. So this was also DC's official first use of Batman Beyond in proper continuity.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool for
yeah, they had done it earlier and said it wasn't continuity, but they never did actually have this much of a crossover, though.
So, the premise of the series, the presentation of the series, it's going to be a weekly series for, I think it's 17 weeks.
Oh, really? So I thought it was all year.
I think a total 18 issues.
Okay.
Well, that's how they're presenting here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I take it back. Number of issues, 48 issues plus a zero issue. So, sorry, they only have the creative teams listed out for 0 through 17 on Wikipedia.
Ah, I see.
So this is going to run from, well, we have issue one in front of us, and it runs all the way through an exhausting length of time through March of 2015. We do have a holdover from previous weekly 52 of, in the form of Keith Giffen,
mm-hmm.
which... He has his finger in just about everything lately, it feels like. But he is one of the co-writers on the current future book.
That was creepy. Oh, sorry, I was looking through the issue. Go ahead.
No, he's the current co-writer on DC's current only book set in the future, which is Justice League 3000, which is improved by leaps and bounds in the last couple months.
Yeah, that's a great book.
So kudos to Mr. Giffen on that. I was incredibly concerned on the quality of that book going in at the first couple of issues. So, are we ready to look at issue one of DC's latest weekly?
You mean zero? Are we doing zero first?
Yeah.
I thought we were doing zero first.
I thought we just did the zero.
He just preceded it.
Oh, okay. I see. All right, we can do that.
The future is bleak.
Yeah, that's true. There were some interesting details, though, that...
Really?
Well, just one.
Okay.
Just give me a second. In the first couple of scenes before Flash shows up... Hold on. I'm, like, way off.
Now, just on this, while he's looking at a side note, the Flash Annual clearly ties into this.
Oh, it does? I need to read it then.
It was that about, 2 weeks ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, well, just one of the quote unquote freedom fighters is waiting for the Flash when he shows up.
The bald-headed,
the bald-headed guy with the big long beard. He's a Flash villain too. It's Kykadia. He was like worshipped the Flash and the Speed Force. That was an old Jeff Johns thing, I think. Hawk was one of the OMAC deals. I'm trying to think. There was something else that I thought was worth noting. Oh, the deal with Black Canary. That was creepy as hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Yeah. And spoilers. Frankenstein, not OMAC'd out. Or not OMAC, not. He's not a bug, a Brother Eye bug. He works with Brother Eye, and he has sewn Black Canary's head into his chest.
Yeah, for her scream.
Yuck.
Yeah, that was something else.
Did they explain what happened to the original Brother Eye? Because in the OMAX series, there was a brother eye, and he wasn't all about taking over.
This is back more like the one that was in right before the 1 year later, that brother eye.
I know, but that's like a whole different universe ago.
Yeah, which is what makes some people think that this is what they're going to do to bring back the old universe or mix things, maybe. In this universe, it was Batman and Mr. Terrific, Terry Sloan, that created it, according to something Terry had said. And you and Mr. Terrific never should have built it, it says.
Yeah.
And you see, you know, older Batman looking like, yeah, you're right. So, yeah. I'm trying to
think. And it should be noted, in the Flash annual, he is Flash, Barry Allen is attempting to right the wrong of his not nephew Wally West getting killed, so he's trying to go back in time to.
Know how well that works out. All right, I guess I thought there was more to that, but there's not. So, my bad. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
All right. So we have the issue number one, creative team Brian Azzarello, Keith Giffen, Dan Jurgens, Jeff Lemire, and Patrick Zurcher are listed on the cover. We have a very, very beautiful cover, actually, by Ryan Sook.
Yeah, I like that.
With three of the main characters being featured here, as we show the Stormwatch's ship exploding in the background. We have Grifter shooting.
Yeah,
Batman Beyond punching something, and Firestorm flying at us. It's going to turn out that apparently the Firestorm and Batman Beyond and I think Frankenstein are going to be the three of the main focus characters of this series. Just
yeah, that's what it looks like.
And of course, it looks like they're going to be giving the Wildstorm characters an opportunity to reintegrate back into the DC universe after dismal attempts after the launch of the New 52. I know the...
Gee, maybe it's because they try to shove them down our throats, think? Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I know that, Marie, you probably still miss... what the hell was the name of that one? The one with the girl in purple?
Voodoo?
Voodoo, right.
Oh, yeah, the stripper / alien / whatever.
Yeah, I liked the first couple of issues. And the art was always good.
I agree. I will give it that. So, the issue opens up 5 years from now, according to the box up here. And it's rushing at us. It's got that very techno kind of thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
A nice cityscape in front of us. We pull back, or pull in, and we've got clearly Batman Beyond. He's talking. So now, ALFRED, Alfred, that's his, the future computer that he used to, in the comic book. I don't remember him using Alfred in the... cartoon, though.
No, This is a new deal.
And I just realized, I'm sorry, a tangent here. In the Marvel Universe, they recently brought back the Spider-Man 2099 character in the Superior Spider-Man. And he also has a computer sidekick like this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the timing couldn't be great for doing that.
That's weird.
Pure timing coincidence.
Well, yeah, he always had somebody he talked to in the cartoon, and in the comic Batman Beyond 2.0, it's Dick Grayson that's the one on the other end. Apparently, Bruce Wayne and them had a falling out, but you don't really know the details. But it's now, Grayson and him. So go ahead.
McGinnis's costume has got this linked into some virtual computer called Alfred, ALFRED. So I'm just going to say Alfred rather than spelling that out.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. We know what you're talking about.
Cool, thank you. They're having a dialogue, and Alfred points out, as we stated before we talked about this, that they are not where they're intending to be. They're in the wrong time period. I don't know what that was. Oh, Murray's wishing his mother a happy birthday.
Yeah.
And Alfred's being snarky, and McGinnis says, "Was real Alfred like you?" And Alfred says, "Well, Alfred Real Alfred, are you insinuating that I'm imaginary? No. Annoying. And Alfred apologizes, trying to keep the conversation going. And McGinnis points out, allow me, we're 7 years, 7 years too late to stop Mr. Trivik's creation of Brother I, which is responsible for the hell of the future we came from. Not to mention the time band had only one jump, meaning they're stuck here. So when this is all said and done, I'm sure we're going to end up with a nice Terry McGinnis book, or at least he'll be tied very tightly in with the Bat books.
Mm-hmm.
And McGinnis says, how did that happen? And Alfred says, well, the time band was calibrated to Master Bruce's mass.
Well, he said, how'd you let that happen? That was interesting.
Let that happen.
Yeah.
You don't measure up. Oh, you get a real kick out of yourself, don't you? Master Bruce programmed me. The kicks are all his. And they look down, and when he had transported back in time, he had brought one of the bugs back with him. And McGinnis is like, what do we do with the cyborg that hitched a ride back with us? And then all of a sudden it comes alive. And it attacks him. It's yeah, yeah.
Looks like, yeah. I don't know who that's supposed to be. I don't think it's anybody.
It's nobody.
Okay.
And it's got drills popping out of its mouth. And McGinnis is yelling at Alfred, saying, hey, you didn't mention that she was still alive. Why would I? She's not. She seems pretty alive to me. That is an incorrect assumption. Life is defined by brain function. And she no longer. And now she's no longer functional. As McGinnis rips off, well, it doesn't rip off her head, but breaks her neck or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to tell from the art. But she gets zzzicked. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sound effects are killing me.
Yeah, they're. That's a.
And Alfred's Master Terry, you're injured. I'll live, though technically I won't for what? At least a few more years, which is funny. So they're a little time paradox conversation. And
mm-hmm.
I think the whole thing is being observed by somebody with glasses. It's hard to tell who that is.
It's Google Glass, I'm sure.
It's Google Glass, that's right.
Which anybody can buy for a mere $1,500, I've heard the other day.
I'll just return everything I purchased for last month and get a pair of those. And McGinnis is laughing. He says, which is funny, and offers, I don't understand. What? Life is funny. And that's because Bruce programmed you, essentially saying that Bruce didn't have a sense of humor.
Mm.
And we switch settings, and we're now in the Huron system, the farthest known space.
Okay.
Which I thought space was infinite, but that's...
Whatever. Yeah, well, known space.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
If we know it's infinite, then it's all known.
It's semantic, I know, isn't it?
And we're at the Carrier, the home of Stormwatch, and it is huge. It's huge. It's the mobile headquarters of Stormwatch. What just happened, engineer? I need a sit rep. Where the hell are we? And they've been pulled out of the bleed by some unknown energy source, and they have Hawkman with them now.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I did, but...
I haven't read that in a while. I don't know if Starlin brought him in or what, but anyway.
Yeah, I didn't catch the last couple issues of that.
Mm, yeah, I stopped reading it a while back.
And we've got Apollo, Midnighter, Engineer, and Jack Hawksmoore, along with Hawkman, and some new character who we find out later is called Mermaid. I've never seen her before either.
Me either.
Again, she may have come in at the end of the Starlin run on Stormwatch just before it was canceled. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing. And yes, and Hawkman rightly points out that no one should be able to reach them while they're between universes, and Hawksmoore confirms that. And Hawksmoore is talking to Angie, an engineer who is a techno-organic being who is hooked directly into the Carrier. She says, I don't. The Carrier is trying to shut me out, Jack. It's like my nanite blood is suddenly speaking a language that's different from the ship's, and then, and she gets...
good one. That was a good sound effect that time.
That was an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets possessed by the ultimate threat, which apparently they've always been just sitting around waiting to happen. What the hell's wrong with the engineer, Jack? That's not Angie anymore, Midnighter. No, Jack Proxmore. Angela Spica, code name, the engineer is gone. I am the storm you were created for. I am here. And Mermaid says, Jack, something's taking control of the carrier self-defense system. And Angie's, arg, ooh, binary, binary, binary. Oh my god, whatever. So Angie and Hawksmore's Angie, and all the guns are now, all the guns of the ship are pointing at them. And but that's Apollo and freaking Midnighter and Hawkman with his energy mace.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they got rid of the, for Hawkman, they eventually got rid of the Venom nth metal thing he was wearing at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Thank goodness. I guess we lost Murray. I guess he's decided to spend time with Mom.
Yeah, well, he's still connected. I think he's just on another call. That's all right.
And the carrier's turned against us, Hawkman. So hit it back, Apollo, he says. And Angie's waking up. And
yeah, that's Hawkman's answer to everything, though. Hit it hard.
Hit it hard. And Apollo takes off, and his love interest, Midnighter, tells him to be careful. I have a bad feeling about this one. It's like, don't worry. It's me. No! No feeling of doom or gloom there.
Mm-hmm.
And he flies outside the ship, as Midnighter, or as Apollo will do. And he's like, Jack, I can't see anything out of the... Wait! And he's being targeted. Superhuman detected, power level 10, threat level processing 2, recommendation, proceed with destruction of extra-dimensional StarCraft, designate the carrier. So this is a little heavy-handed, this issue, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of new characters, and they're making sure they're all identified. And Midnighter's Apollo. What is it, Apollo? Our sensors have just shut down. We are blind in here. Midnighter, Jack, I think I see it. It's, oh god, it's the stars. No, it didn't say that.
oh, ouchie.
And we get an Apollo, and he gets besorged.
Yeah, big time.
Which, he's a pretty damn powerful character.
Yeah, he's Superman level, and he just got bona fide.
He really did. He's very see-through now in that particular panel. At least his top half is. Doesn't look like the bottom half got it.
Yeah.
And Midnighter, of course, is screaming, no! And then Mermaid, something else is happening, Jack. And she's at her gun. And she, you know who she looks like? She looks like that character from Hellboy.
I was just thinking that. I don't remember the character's name, but I know exactly what you mean.
And Hawkman seems to be someone in charge. And what now, Mermaid? And something's targeting them from outside the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Techno Organics, probably Brother Eye would be my guess, but it's commencing with infiltration of carrier AI. Carrier AI sophistication level 3 recommendation to terminate. I thought they already decided to terminate. A panel.
Yeah, I know. That didn't make sense to me either.
There's miscommunication, and the ship is set on auto-destruct, and Jack is yelling, shut it down! Or we need to shut it, and then thoom! Take a drink.
Yeah. They're dead.
And we get some more techno dialogue. Earth's early detection system, codenamed Stormwatch Destroy. Proceed with primary objective, charting course to target planet designate Earth. And we get a shot of North America and South America Earth. And we are back on Earth, and we are in Conover Cove, North Carolina. Seems pretty random, but I'm sure there's a point. And an internal dialogue is going on. They cluster. They're like us that way, social. They gravitate toward each other as people are being shot through the skull. Boom! And then in the chest, blood splatter, and a little girl is running away, running, screaming, oh, mommy, daddy! And the six normals living among them, didn't have a clue, and there's a person walking up the stairs, shooting the bodies, and the little girl's running away, and she's got a cute little kitty t-shirt on. We find out the person treating everyone is Grifter.
My last scene was creepy.
Wasn't it though?
No. Yeah. I'm a Terminator, by the way.
Hmm?
Yeah. Eesh.
He's back.
I'm back. So's Grifter.
Yes.
And Grifter's walking along. He kicks in a door. The little girl's cowering. Not going to happen. I'm never wrong. Come on. You know you want to. And little girl, I start below me. It turns out Grifter, as always, is right. There we go. And he, and little girl screams at him in something alien. The only word we can read there is Grifter. And then she gets besorged. But he's shocked. He knew me by name. I'm getting to them. They walk among us, and I walk among them. Best job ever.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the scene worked. I mean, it was creepy, and I'm sure it was supposed to be creepy. And since I'm not real familiar with Grifter, having only read, like, an issue or two of his New 52 stuff, I wasn't sure if he was, like, crazy, if he was, like, a Punisher-type character.
Yeah, well, I think, if I remember correctly, in the first issue, they were trying to implant one of those somethings in him.
The Daemonites.
Daemonites, that's right. From, you know, the old Watcher stuff. Something happened and it didn't take, but he ended up getting the ability to see them when they're in somebody. So that's basically what he was doing. He's like, when he finds them, he just wipes them out. So that's pretty much it.
Well, it worked.
Mm-hmm. He was a member of the Team 7 when that very, very short publication was going on.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I didn't read any of those.
Now, I don't remember him being quite so mercenary about it. My memory was that he was a little more lighthearted and less Terminator, less Punisher about it. But
This is in.
But it's been 5 years.
It's in the future, so.
He's had 5 years to get grim and gritty.
Yeah, we don't know what happened.
I'm sure we never will.
Like how this other half of the Firestorm characters acting here in a minute.
Yeah, and I just want to point out, if we look in the background, a lot of places they have the big Mr. T, or not Mr. T, Jesus, Mr. Terrific T.
Well, yeah.
I pity the fool who doesn't buy my
Which phone. I find interesting, because the last time I looked, he was still in on Earth 2.
Yes, he is. Maybe the Earth 2 weekly series will explain how he gets back.
Well, I think I've read a solicit farther along that mentions Earth 2. So,
as Murray noted, there is going to be a Earth 2 weekly coming
out. I hadn't heard that, but you know, I'm not surprised. I'm kind of disappointed that they're trying to do that many, because the weeklies. Mm-hmm. I like how the pace of the weeklies, but I mean that's getting four of them now.
No, three.
Oh, just only three. Okay,
only three, and really, I'm not looking at Batman, and this one...
Well, I am.
I may just check in and out of, but Earth 2 I would check. Like, there's a ton of stuff you could explore in Earth 2.
Yeah. Well, they've totally changed completely tone on that book. I'm still reading it, but it's pretty dark now.
Well, it's a war.
Well, I know, but it was... I don't know, it was just different before when Robinson was writing it.
God, I thought it was dark to start with. I thought it's been dark since day one.
Well, it was... Yeah, it's a dark... I don't know. It was just different. I don't know.
Well, they didn't have Superman ripping people in half.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. To me, it was like... It was more focused when Robinson was writing it. I still like it, but it seems like it's just all over the place. It's like, whoa, where'd this come from, you know? I don't know.
Really?
That's what it just seems like to me.
See, I like what Robinson was doing a little better, because there were like a ton of different stories going on.
Mm-hmm.
But with the new guy, which I like quite a lot, I find it really focused. Like it's been evil Superman all the time. That's the storyline.
Well, that's true.
Nothing else going on. Like other than
the
latest
one.
There's like the war and stuff. But
yeah.
Either like I like it. I'm still enjoying it lots.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I liked Robinson's focus better, because it was less Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and it was more the rest of the heroes.
Yeah, I agree.
However, Well, they can come back to that when they have the Earth 2 Weekly, which is going to be related to the Futures End Weekly.
Interesting.
Which is where we are right now.
All
right,
then.
We're now in Morningside Heights, New York City. And we can see a young gentleman running down the street yelling, "Raymond!" Answering him phone. He's talking into his cell phone. They still have cell phones 5 years from now? Cool.
I guess so, yeah. They're not implants yet. At least not till the Borg. OMAC takes over.
He's running down what appears to be a fairly empty New York street. You don't see New York streets looking that empty pretty frequently.
Yeah.
And he runs into a store, and he's yelling into the phone, "It's emergency, we're late!" And he bumps into a woman carrying a bag, and he runs into a shop. And that blonde who works here, Emily, is she in? Who wants to know? "My name is Jason Rush, excuse me. The half of Firestorm that we've seen recently.
Mm-hmm.
Boyfriend, Ronnie Raymond, is a buddy of mine. I gotta find him. It's an emergency. Ron, oh, you mean the hot brown-eyed girl. So girls do want his eyes. All right, cool."
Mm-hmm.
Well, they want more than his eyes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And he's upstairs in the back with her, and he runs in, and they're getting busy in the stock room. And why aren't you answering the phone?
Hello? Yeah, it's pretty obvious, dude. Anyway.
So he interrupts them, and she's like, "I don't need this." And he's had that stress call from Green Arrow. And he can take care of himself. And yeah. Sorry. Once upon a time, so we were we... "Oh, you can't be bothered. I don't do 24/7, especially when Emily's on speed dial. You don't care about her. I care about having a good time. You should try it. Don't touch me. I am not too late."
You skipped something. The fact is, the reason that he's so up in arms wanting him to join him is because Green Arrow called him 45 minutes ago with a distress call, and he needs us. And that's...
That's good. You're absolutely right.
That was the panel before where you're at.
Five more pages here. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And now they're Firestorm, and he's in. Ronnie's like, "I should go into witness protection to stop this." Rush is all, "Seattle, as fast as you can, or kill you. That'd work. Look, Oliver brought us into the Justice League after the war. He trusts us more than anyone. If he needs our help, we can't let him down. Do you even know what the problem is? I like this line here, by the way. Ollie's pretty proud. If he felt like he couldn't handle it on his own, it must be bad. And he's like, maybe something nuclear that only our powers can handle. Head for the heart." Oh, they got to Seattle pretty quick from New York. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, they really did. Okay.
Yeah, they're booking it.
And he's head for the harbor. That's where the signal came from, and I hope he was able to hang on without us. And they notice there's a fire. Damn, what the hell? What happened? And they swoop in, and there's a lot of damage to the docks.
Mm-hmm.
Building or a boat, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Has been blowed up. And Ronnie's all, it's a war zone. It's all over again. And, it's a building. And Rush is all, Ollie's lab is gone. Looks like it was ground zero for whatever happened here. Change the oxygen to carbon dioxide and put out the fire and take care of the people. So, okay, I screwed up. I get that. Screwing up is all you ever do. Firestorm should be a priority, but you gave up on that a long time ago. I've paid my dues, Rush, and I don't need a nanny. And he's creating little nuclear slides to get people out. And he's trying to put out the fire. Rush is on, what you need is a kick in the ass, because all you care about is yourself. And they're having this little internal argument, as they always did, which I like New Firestorm as opposed to the...
I picked up some old Firestorm issues at Free Comic Book Day and fill up your comic box for $45 sale. I got several of them.
Which version?
This, the original.
Oh, Professor Stein and...
Yeah, yeah.
Got them all. I have all 100 issues plus the annuals.
Well, I got the trade, and they haven't done any more collections, so I figured I'd pick some of those up. I got a lot of stuff. I need to go through them. Anyway, go ahead.
So Ronnie Raymond is macking on this hot chick who comes sliding down, and she calls him, "Hey, your head. I guess that's why they call you Fire Hair."
Like, I thought
Fire
that was funny.
Storm. And there's somebody digging through some rubble behind them, and please, you can't let him die. I mean, he was trying to help us, but then there was another explosion, and loop back. There's a better way. And Rush reminds him, not hydrogen. He's like, thanks for the tip, genius. Like, I wouldn't know enough to change it to helium. And the guy who was digging through the rubble doesn't know who the hell he's talking to. How long ago did this happen? Oh, 20, 25 minutes. I did all I could. I'm sure you did. 25, and Rush is in his head. 25 minutes. Can't be. The bystanders, there he is. No. This is on you, Raymond. This is your fault. Your selfishness caused this. Because of you. And we see the Green Arrow is dead.
He looks more like the Green Arrow we know, too.
With the beard and stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, in the monthly Green Arrow, they reintroduced Oliver's dad, who had the beard and stuff.
Oh, okay. I've got a bunch of those issues. I just haven't read them.
And he's got rebarbs sticking all through him, through his leg.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Lots of broken arrows all over the place. And one of his bear. And then that's the issue. We get some panels from future issues, it looks like, with Mr. Terrific walking in and Batman Beyond coming upon a very Aparo-looking Batman shadow.
Yeah.
And we get a bunch of superheroes carrying probably the coffin of Green Arrow. And
yeah, it looks like Firestorm hit somebody. Was this an archer with red arrows?
And they just killed off Red Arrow on Earth 2.
Oops. Yeah, they did. I just read that.
Mm-hmm. And the artist on this particular issue we just read was Patrick Berger. He was really good. And I like this. Keith Giffen gets art consultant.
Yeah. I think he was that way with 52 as well, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. 52, he did breakdowns.
That's right, he did.
So I don't know what art consultant does, but it was good.
He looks at it and says, that's crap, that's good, that's crap. That's what an art consultant does.
And I don't know quite what this one panel is. There's some almost Skeletor looking. Oh no, it's an arrow. It's a green. It's an arrow head.
Mm-hmm.
It got. It's actually. It looked kind of Skeletorish at first.
It does. It does look like that.
And just to be clear, I don't know who else is in this panel with it, but that almost looks like. A wildfire up there in the upper right.
Yeah, it does. Oh, the masked Superman.
Oh, right.
Which we all know is Superman as a boy. I'm going to continue that rumor as much as I can. But,
and that was issue one of the latest weekly from DC.
Mm-hmm. So,
Futures End, again, lacking the apostrophe, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
Not futures as in possessive, it's just futures.
Yeah, this is true. You are correct, sir.
And there are a ton of spin-outs. They have one. Every monthly title, including the new ones, which are Infinity Man and Forever People,
yeah.
New Suicide Squad, Star Spangled War Stories.
In September, they're all going to have it.
Yeah, right. They're all
with 3D covers!
Like last year.
That melt when you leave them out in the sun.
Well, look after your comics. Comics are a responsibility.
I'm just saying.
Not a right. They're a privilege.
That's exactly right. You're right,
okay,
sir.
Hey, okay, Mr. Dad, whatever, man.
Whatever you say, teach.
Mr. Hand.
I got that. Speaking of, well, actually, that has nothing to do with what we were talking about. But anyway, that Phoenix, the Untold Story, I got that in the mail the other day. Mm-hmm. It's basically, the whole thing is a complete reprint of the entire story, just like it was printed before. And then at the last chapter is the one we talked about. And then there's the text pieces of the interview.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to reading that later.
Now here's an interesting, I don't know if this is a misprint, but on the on the Wikipedia page for this Future's End thing, it lists all the books that are getting a Future's End.
Yeah.
And it's Aquaman and the Outsiders, Future's End number one. And I don't know if that's just a misprint.
It's probably, I don't know if it is or not. That's a good point.
Now, again, it is, after all, Wikipedia, so they can do whatever they want. But
well, yeah, this is true.
No.
I don't know if they have a page for this or not.
So, again, all my problems with the gore in the Zero issue.
Yeah, that was kind of ridiculous.
If you get a chance, Murray, you get a chance to look through it, I think you will probably agree with my.
Yeah, and I believe, yeah, if you needed that issue, let me know. But I was reading some stuff that Michael Myers was saying from some of his podcasts. Apparently, there was stuff that's going on in the Trinity of Sin books that makes him think that they're going to use this to reset everything back, or merge the New 52 with some of the old stuff. Make a whole nother universe again.
so bring back give everybody their Wally West and their Donna Troys and their real legion of superheroes and so on. So
got it. Just what he's saying. So I haven't read any of those, and I don't know if I will, just to find out. But anyway, so yeah, that was a lot better than the first one. It was a lot of, it seemed like gore for gore's sake. I don't know, maybe it was just to give you an idea of how bad it was.
I guess so, but we knew it was bad, come on.
Yeah, I don't know, I like who's writing it, so I have a little bit of hope. I wouldn't call them high hopes. But hope anyway. Not too fond where the Batman Eternal is going either, for that matter. But it's interesting at least.
I'm not. I think it was really cool. I picked up the latest issue of Detective, which referenced what is going on in Batman Eternal. It really high continuity.
Interesting.
They mentioned the fact that Gordon's in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, you gotta have conflict. Or you don't have a story. Well, I mean, conflict is a vague term, but I've been reading Stephen King's book on writing, so I've picked up a few things. I just never agreed to that kind of conflict. You know, messing with the characters and stuff like that, but I don't know. Anyway,
Murray, my guess is yes, you could probably check in on this one every once in a blue moon and not be completely lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's one I was going to. Originally, I was thinking I was going to pick up every issue, but the first issue didn't grab. I didn't hate it. It was fine. But I don't know that I'm going to grab it.
Well, I am. If I can sit through all 52 issues of Countdown, I can certainly go through this one.
Man, that is a glowing recommendation there.
Well, I mean, it can't be that bad. Well, it could be.
It could be.
Actually, it could, so I'll take that back. It could get as bad because, you know, I don't know. So,
Countdown had so much potential, so don't.
Oh, good Lord, I know.
There's a part of me, there's like a kind of sick little part of me that wants to go back and reread Countdown.
Yeah, that is a sick part of you.
I know, but still, I want to kind of...
Now, 52 I would do. Because that was a really good story.
I want to hear your reasoning behind this, Murray.
Yeah, what is the reasoning behind that?
Well, I know everyone gives it a bad rap. Like, it's terrible, blah, blah, blah. And I don't remember...
It's terrible.
loving it, but it's got like Donna Troy, and it's got the Trickster and Piper and Jimmy Olsen, and I don't know. Is it really that bad?
Do you remember the original Trickster dragging around the dead body of Pied Piper on while they were handcuffed together? You remember that? I mean, come on.
How about the Karate Kid story with the single body of Triplicate Girl?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That kind of paved way for the whole Commandy universe, and it kind of, I don't know. Don't be surprised if I start flipping through it.
That's perfectly fine, man.
And then don't be surprised if I suddenly come back to the correct way of thinking and realize, no, it really was bad, and I've just blocked
it. It wasn't 52 done right either.
No. But anyway.
That wasn't my words.
Murray, there are literally tens of dozens of series that you've never read that you I'm sure you said, you know what, I should read that.
I know. I've got a ton of back issues. I should go back and reread. I want to reread Wonder Woman. I want to reread the rest of The Flash. I want to read. There's so much I want to reread. And yet,
I want to start at the beginning of my Legion collection and read through all of it.
I want to do another Legion reread too at some point.
Because I haven't done that in a long time.
I just listened to the podcaster. That's good enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, all right. If you end up doing that, I'll give you $5.
Yeah, awesome. you could live blog that too. That would be funny.
Yes, I could.
Page one.
Hour 30 of my read through on Countdown. My sanity is slipping.
There's blood coming out of my eyeballs.
I would hope by hour 30 I would be done. However.
Took a break to self-emulate yourself. And be exact.
Oh, Lord.
All right. I'm not saying I'm definitely doing it. I have urges sometimes. I have urges.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I have
those urges are what led to the year I had the buzz cut. It's never a good thing.
Oh my God, you had a buzz cut?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I can't even imagine that.
It was a nightmare.
I had one when I was a kid. My dad took me to get a haircut, and he just got a buzz, and boy, my mom was not happy.
Yeah.
Not happy.
Well, Murray,
I'm all about the impulse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Couple shots of tequila and you will be fine.
Alrighty, let's wrap this up.
Alright.
I gotta go to bed. It's late, man.
Yeah, it is late for you, isn't it? Yeah, I have to go pee really bad. So.
Almost after 9.
Yeah, it is. I gotta finish that Arrow episode. Let's see, where was I? Oh, yes, as always.
.com, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, yeah.
Facebook, Twitter.
You can email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. Or you can go to the actual Facebook page. You got me on that one, man.
Yep.
Or you can go to the actual Facebook page, just do a search for it, and you can find it. And then, as always, you can leave a comment
on our Tumblr page.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a Tumblr page yet, but we can get
one.
On the actual Facebook.
All the cool kids are going now onto the Tumblr.
Well, I do have a Tumblr, but all it does is gather everything else I do and put it all on one page. Okay. But I don't have one for the podcast. Tumblr is.
Yeah. If someone's got a pee so bad, you sure are dragging this out.
Yeah, I know.
Wrap it up.
That's it. Okay, goodbye. We're done. Hope you enjoyed it. As much as Murray did, apparently.
Alrighty.
Gentlemen, you have a good week.
All right, you too. It's patch week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.